view, there are going to be a number of Republican candidates that go into this primary. I think they will be whittled down by the time we get to the filing date of March 1st. We will probably end up with a field that is relatively small. Maybe we'll have a consensus candidate. I don't know. But all I'm saying is anybody but Sisolak, and I'm willing to look at just about anybody. So we'll get a chance to visit a little bit later on with Sheriff Joe Lombardo. Also, Craig Mueller, criminal defense attorney, Mueller & Associates. What does he think of what happened today when it comes to the lawyering involved in Bill Cosby getting his freedom? Yeah. We'll do that and more coming up. Busy, busy show. Glad you're with us today. We are to the end of June, believe it or not. Yeah, June 30th, 2021. My name is Kevin Wall. Good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ, where news is next.
The legislative session was a predictable mess for those of us who believe in free markets, limited and accountable government, and individual liberty. However, understanding which lawmakers voted for what bills, well, that's just the beginning of being able to hold our elected officials accountable for their actions. What took place in Carson City during the session goes far beyond just the votes that they cast. Nevada Policy's Legislative Report Card is your complete guide to what happened behind the scenes of Nevada's 81st legislative session. Not only is each lawmaker graded on their actions in key policy areas, but we break down exactly how the process unfolded throughout the session. That includes the backroom deals, the trade-offs, and the political nonsense behind every key piece of legislation. Go to nevadapolicy.org/report card and sign up to be the first to receive our 2021 legislative report card when it comes out this summer. That's nevadapolicy.org/report card. This Nevada Policy Update has been brought to you in partnership with the Nevada Trucking Association.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld has died.
Donald Rumsfeld, who served as Secretary of Defense in two administrations, died Tuesday, according to a statement from his family. He was 88. Rumsfeld enjoyed a long career in government, working under four U.S. presidents. He was Defense Secretary under President Gerald Ford and returned to lead the Pentagon in 2001 under President George W. Bush. In the aftermath of the September 11th terrorist attacks in 2001, Rumsfeld oversaw the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan in 2003, and the overthrow of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. As he retired in December 2006, Rumsfeld told the troops in a recorded message,
"It has been the highest honor of my life to serve with you, the men and women of the U.S. Armed Forces."
Mike Gracia, Washington.
A widely used economic forecasting model says the Senate's bipartisan infrastructure bill would increase the gross domestic product over the long run. Bob Agnew reports.
The bipartisan bill has detractors and supporters on both sides of the aisle. Now it has another supporter in the Penn-Wharton budget model. It's an equation viewed favorably by a wide cross-section of lawmakers. The model projects the deal would decrease government debt and increase GDP, but the process could take decades. The compromise bill would spend far less than the broader human infrastructure package favored by leftist Democrats and would pay for itself partly through unused COVID-19 relief funds and improved tax enforcement. Bob Agnew reporting.
Stories of survival are kindling hopes that rescuers may find more people alive within the rubble of the collapsed Champlain Towers South condo tower in Surfside, Florida. Finding survivors is critical in the early days of a disaster, but the right conditions could help some victims endure. On Wall Street, the Dow by 210 points. The NASDAQ, however, dropped 24. The S&P up by 5. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Excuse me, why don't you have life insurance yet?
I've got diabetes, and I know the price will be through the roof for the pre-existing condition.
Well, actually, SelectQuote makes it easy to get very affordable life insurance, even if you have a health issue.
I'm listening.
You'll get quotes from some of the country's most trusted carriers. Even with your diabetes, you can get around $250,000 in insurance for as little as a dollar a day.
That would be amazing. What's it called again?
SelectQuote. Just call or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote. Get the coverage you need at a price you can afford. Call 1-800-694-1010 or go to SelectQuote.com today. That's 1-800-694-1010 or SelectQuote.com. SelectQuote. We shop, you save. Get full details on example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Monthly premiums vary based on health, company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. Happy to talk about someone I've known and respected for quite a while, Mark Hutchison. Mark most recently served as our state's lieutenant governor, and now he's back full-time at his law firm, Hutchison & Steffen. One of the ways he and his partners help businesses is when they face a dispute with the government. Sometimes clients are caught up in a blizzard of regulations, rules, or procedures of a particular government body, federal, state, county, even city. Sometimes they must appear at hearings or attempt to negotiate a resolution or even fight a decision in court. No matter the problem or the need, if your business becomes entangled with government, you need the skills of the lawyers at Hutchison & Steffen. They'll help you resolve your dispute with the government so you can focus on what you do best, taking care of business. Call 702-385-2500. That's 702-385-2500 or visit hutchlegal.com. Get the help you need and get out of the government maze. Hutchison & Steffen, your go-to law firm for administrative and regulatory law matters.
It's 4:04. This is your KMZQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. University Medical Center admits it has been a victim of a criminal data breach. The acknowledgement comes after a hacker group began posting personal information reportedly obtained in that cyber attack. UMC officials have confirmed the hackers accessed a server used to store data in mid-June. They say there's no evidence that any clinical systems were hacked during the attack. The hospital is offering access to complimentary ID protection and credit monitoring services to patients and employees who might be at risk. Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo has declared his candidacy for governor. The two-term sheriff pledged to run as a law and order candidate. He will veto any tax increases passed by state lawmakers. Sheriff Lombardo will appear right here on AM 670 KMZQ on Live and Local just about an hour from right now. Well, Vegas Golden Knights goalie Marc-Andre Fleury is the winner of the Vezina Trophy as the NHL's top netminder. It's the first time that Marc-Andre has won the award in his 17-year sure-to-be Hall of Fame career. Fleury posted career bests in goals against average and save percentage while finishing third in the league with six shutouts this season.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Right now, come in for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95.
Look for congestion both directions on the Southern Beltway right now. 215 westbound of Valley Verde, 215 east at St. Rose. Reduced speeds on the 15 southbound at Charleston. The two right lanes are very slow as you try to work your way through there. And lane restrictions, 515 eastbound at Eastern.
And in addition to that, we have to make sure that we are in a position that we are. Well, let me go to the second thing. I've spoken enough of that.
And what makes his wild claims and hopes. He now hopes we don't notice what he said or won't remember. And when he does follow through or doesn't do, when he follows through, the exact opposite.
Check it out!
COVID has taken this year, just since the outbreak, has taken more than 100 years. Look, here's the lives. When you think about it.
Don't call me stupid.
Oh, right. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
Number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by Peters Family Insurance. Support local conservative small business owners before liberal elected officials put us all out of business. Call Sam Peters, Peters Family Insurance. Do it right now, 702-870-4000. Joining us now, and I always love having him on, I always learn something when he comes on the show, Robert Fellner. He is the Vice President and Director of Policy for Nevada Policy Research Institute. And Robert, first of all, thanks for joining us. I'm just curious what you think of the 81st Nevada legislature, which ended at the beginning of the month. And I'm just curious, can we do better than this? I mean, we have to do better than what we did for 120 days in Carson City.
Yeah, I mean, it was a complete failure, and Nevadans deserve so much better. You know, from the conceptual standpoint, the fact that the legislature didn't restore our fundamental representative system of government, as State of Governor Sisolak, you know, for a year you single-handedly made the law, much like a king. It's over now. We're going to have the representatives of the people make law again. This so-called emergency is over, and the Constitution means something. But they didn't. They punted, and, you know, his state of emergency lingers on, which was just disgraceful. But also in policy, too, I mean, working-class Nevadans got nothing out of this. We really set a dangerous precedent with the Democrats now seeming like they're going to target specific industries, you know, to leverage with the teachers' unions where they put forth the mining tax on the ballot and get them to capitulate for a smaller tax hike, which, of course, passed the legislature. And you got to wonder if that's the game plan going forward, if it's this divide-and-conquer approach, which is just terrible for business and for consumers and Nevada as a whole. And it really was. It was just, like you said, we got to do better.
What was the worst that came out of this? Was it AB 321 that codified the election stuff?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty bad. To me, I'm not, you know, I'm less concerned with the election. It's less a priority to me because I'm still looking for great candidates. You know, it's like, get great candidates out there, and then if they still can't win, let's look at the election rules. But yeah, I mean, it was really disingenuous. It was really kind of emblematic of the deception where they took COVID and got all this stuff rammed through, saying temporary emergency, and then once they got in power, they just made it all permanent, which is, of course, what they did there. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to think of one thing above the rest that stood out. I just thought it was the whole approach. It was just cronies, government insiders first, ordinary Nevadans last.
Well, and even the way they go about it, the way they almost gloated, you know, when James Settlemyer filed suit on the two-thirds taxation thing, and then the state Supreme Court ruled against him, and it turned out that James Settlemyer was right. Can you talk a little bit about some of the legal stuff that is going on? Much of it, by the way, that is being shepherded by NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute.
Sure. And I mean, that's the two-thirds example you spoke of really highlights the whole issue, which is these people are not going to play by the rule, right? They knew that was wrong. Their approach is, well, sue us. And they know ordinary Nevadans can't afford that. So our big focus is we do think that Nevadans should have elected officials who are willing to play by the rules. And one of the biggest rules they're breaking right now is the separation of powers, which is that concept that you can't serve in multiple branches at once. And certainly the people like Nicole Cannizzaro, who prosecuted and enforced the law, can't also write the law she will then later enforce upon you. But that's being violated right now. Willy-nilly, it's been violated for 70 years because of this concept of they're going to break the rules. They're going to break the supreme law of the land, which is the Constitution, until someone stops them. And so we're suing them all. We're suing every single legislator who also works in government. And that case right now, we are at the state Supreme Court. We've got some unlikely allies in both the Federal Public Defender's Office and the Clark County Public Defender's Office have both filed their own narrow challenge just against Nicole Cannizzaro and Melanie Scheibel, the two prosecutors/legislators. And we're hopeful the Nevada Supreme Court will finally do its job and address this issue. They've done everything they could to avoid it, but the harms are too great, and we're hopeful we'll finally pierce that veil of, back to immunity.
Again, Robert Fellner joining us, the Vice President and Director of Policy at NPRI, Nevada Policy Research Institute. By the way, this special NPRI report is brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association. Can you give us where we are in the process, though? I know you filed the opening briefs and all of that. Where are we in the process with the state Supreme Court?
So in 8 days, Canadaro and company need to file their response to our brief, and after that we get 30 days for answer, and then it's up to the Supreme Court. They could either rule on the issue right away, or they can order oral argument. But this is, so hopefully we're going to get a real substantive resolution one way or another by, I would say, the end of the year, maybe early next year. But it is really, it's all about standing. They don't have a prayer on the actual substance. If you read the text, the legislators cannot exercise any other function. So if we ever get to just addressing what the Constitution actually says, they don't have a shot. The reason that they've got away with it for so long is the Nevada Supreme Court made up some rules saying we're not going to allow Nevadans to enforce the Constitution through litigation. We'll only hear cases if you can, highlight a specific harm that only you suffered and no one else did. Again, this is made up, non-constitution. There's nothing binding them to that. So we are asking them to say, on matters of great public importance, your fundamental job as a judiciary is to enforce the Constitution. Look at all the harms that are happening from you failing to do your job. Please do it. And so that's where we are. And I don't want to get pessimistic, but in a sense, it's all on the line, because if the Supreme Court says, no, we're not going to hear any challenges unless you can meet this ridiculous standing requirement that no one could meet, in a sense, it's the end, right? I don't like to say that, but, they can come out with a decision that basically says, we're going to delete a section of the Constitution just through judicial inaction. We really hope, we hope that's not the case. And if they do, in a couple months come forth with this decision saying, okay, listen, we made up this rule about standing. We can't keep enforcing a rule that says we're never going to enforce the Constitution. We're going to at least hear a constitutional challenge. That will be, while it won't be the end, because we'll still have to get into nuts and bolts, it will be kind of like breaking the dam. The floodgates are going to open, and we're going to get real enforcement down the line.
Robert, I'm not an attorney, so I'm asking this question out of sheer ignorance because I don't know. What does it take to have standing in a state like this? I mean, we've seen a lot of things where we've gone, and sued and have, legal action, and all of a sudden we find that we don't have standing. What does it take to have standing when all this stuff is happening in our state where we live?
The actual rule is it needs to be specific and unique to you. So, that's a very high bar, but I can give you just what it actually means for the separation of powers. What it actually means for the separation of powers is you have to find a plaintiff who says, hey, I was going to be a prosecutor for Clark County, but now I can't because Nicole Canizero is holding that job, so I'm now out of a job. We actually found someone to say that back in 2017, but they still dismissed it because they said, oh, there's another rule that says if you sue a member of one class, the dual-serving legislator, you have to sue everyone. And so we like, that's impossible. So with all the offending dual-serving legislators, you have Canizero, you have Scheibel, you have Frierson, on down the list, that means you'd have to find 9 separate plaintiffs, all of them uniquely qualified. They all have to be either licensed attorneys or communication professionals down the road. All of them sitting around perpetually unemployed who would testify, yes, I'm an attorney in the state of Nevada and I'm personally harmed because I can't get a job because Canizero is a deputy DA, and then 9 other people saying the same thing. It is an absurd theater. That's not what the separation of powers is about. It's not that you can't apply to be a DA. It's that you're being ruled over the tyranny of the same person who's writing the law, then going to enforce the law. So that's what standing is. It makes sense, Kevin, in the private sector. I can't sue you if I can't point to some way that I've specifically been harmed by you, right? That makes sense. But government and the Constitution is different, and these crazy rules that they're making up now about having to have 9 different plaintiffs, all with the unique qualifications, all to testify that they're perpetually unemployed because of one government job's fulfilled. It's like, hey, guys, we've gone down this rabbit hole. We're in this crazy land that makes it impossible to enforce. Maybe we need to step back and look at this rule that you made up to begin with and see if we should get back to doing your job, which is enforcing the Constitution.
Well, and again, this isn't like enforcing a law. This is enforcing the Constitution. I mean, that impacts exactly. All of us, right?
That's exactly right. You know, and that's why standing exists for private sectors. I can't be suing people if I can't point to some way that you know, whoever I'm suing actually harmed me in a specific, concrete way. But when you get into the frame and the system and structure of government, when you have these violations, by definition, it harms all of us. Of course I can't say how it's harming me different than you. The whole argument is it's harming every Nevada. So it makes no sense. There's no basis for it. And one of the things we point out is it's not just us who say there's no basis for it. It's all these other state Supreme Courts. You cite Arizona, Alaska, Wyoming, at least 10 others saying, hey, guys, you know, I know the federal courts have this rule of standing, but we don't have anything like that here. And in fact, arguably, our most important job as a state Supreme Court is to enforce the limits imposed upon government. And they have all the great quotes of how if you don't, the definition of tyranny. So we're going to do our job and do it. So we cited that in our brief. We referenced those state Supreme Courts who have heard cases like these. And we're saying, hey, Nevada Supreme Court, it's your time to do the same.
Again, Robert Fellner joining us, Vice President and Director of Policy for Nevada Policy Research Institute. I've got to take you into breaking news today. Bill Cosby being freed by the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. I know this may be a little bit out of your wheelhouse, but I'm just curious what you think after spending 2 years in the slammer. He is a free man. He is home tonight. He will be sleeping in his own bed. There are still 50 women that claim that he sexually assaulted them. How do you feel about that? I'm curious.
You know, I really don't know much about that whole situation at all. I just saw a really brief headline. I didn't even read the whole article, but I think they were saying the reason they vacated the conviction was due to prosecutorial misconduct. Basically, the prosecutors did something really egregious, not even saying, hey, I looked at this and I think you're innocent. It's just you didn't get a fair shake. You know, and if that's the case, you know, you can understand why the court would be upset. And I do think that's a real issue that prosecutors can get away with real serious misconduct, and that if they do engage in them, that you're denied your right to a fair trial. You can see how devastating that is, because you should be set free. And then that goes to the larger question: well, that does injustice to the victims. If this person is really guilty, now he gets set free because the prosecutor couldn't play fair. That's kind of a national issue. We don't focus on it too much here in Nevada policy, but I'm very aware of it, and I'm certainly in favor of making stronger penalties or anything we can to make sure prosecutors, also play by the rules, because when they engage in misconduct, it's devastating to all parties.
Indeed. One of the things I know about NPRI, and we've been, for the last 10, 11 years, I've been working with NPRI on a lot of different fronts. One of the things I love is that you folks know how to throw a party. And you've got an anniversary coming up, and you're going to be throwing a big, big party featuring Molly Hemingway. Can you talk a little bit about what's coming up, when it is, how folks can get tickets? You guys always throw great parties. You really honestly do.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And honestly, I think this is going to be our best yet. And there's a lot of reasons. It's our 30-year, NPRI is turning 30. It's our 30-year birthday for the Institute. We have, like you said, our keynote guest speaker, Molly Hemingway, who I just think is fantastic. And I think she's going to do a tremendous job, and a lot of people are really going to enjoy that. And I think also, you know, a lot of us have been kind of cooped up, and with the whole COVID thing, it's going to be just great to let loose again, to see all of our good friends and supporters. And speaking of which, I'm very pleased to announce that we are going to be honoring the great folks over at Power to Parent, too, at the dinner, which I'm really
Aaron
proud
Phillips of. And everybody. I love those people.
Exactly. This is they do such good work. You know, in the olden days, we would occasionally, you know, honor a lawmaker, things like that. And these days, like, no, it's the grassroots, the people on the ground, like Aaron Phillips and the whole team over at Power to Parent. And so we're going to be honoring them. And I just think it's going to be a great crowd, a great event. We're going to do a couple new things, too. You know, obviously, one of the reasons of the dinner is, in addition to celebrate, it's to fundraise. We are a nonprofit. We've got to fundraise. So we came up with a couple of ideas doing auctions where, you know, we'll talk, for instance, about the separation of powers case, and then we'll have, you know, a framed copy of our legal brief that the winning bidder will get a copy of. We're going to have one of the items support our interns program, and we're going to highlight how all these great interns have come through NPRI and how we've helped them. And if you want to, you know, help us keep that program going, you can, and there'll be photos of the interns. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. It is August 19th, 6 p.m. at the Venetian Resort, which is our home. They always do a nice job hosting us. And anyone who wants tickets, NPRI.org, you can buy tickets. And really, it's just going to be a blast.
Now, just out of curiosity, because I know a lot of folks that are out there, they have companies. Can you buy a table, or is it just individual tickets?
Oh, you could, Kevin, you're better than me. That's the goal. It's definitely, we're selling full tables as well. You can buy individual tickets, you can buy a couple, and if you really want to support us, please buy a table. That would be great. You know, you get up, you and your family and friends there, and obviously that will go a long way to help us keep doing the work that we love to do.
I absolutely love it. Robert, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. You have a great 4th of July. You going to be throwing another shrimp on the Barbie?
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to be watching the fireworks downtown here at the Plaza. They're going to do a big show, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, that is great. Robert, thanks so much. Have a great 4th. We'll talk with you again soon.
You too, Kevin. Thank you.
Robert Fellner, Vice President, Director of Policy, Nevada Policy Research Institute. And this NPRI special report brought to you by Nevada Trucking Association, Paul Enos, and all the good people that move freight from point A to point B, getting it to the consumer. That's you and me. Stay with us. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
Listen to your radio again on the weekends. On Sunday, you can enjoy The Jesus Christ Show, Gun Talk, Frontline to Freedom, and Hillary Kramer's Millionaire Maker. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
With the MultiCare Group, buying life insurance has never been easier. Whatever you need, life insurance, health insurance, even long-term care, we can help. Call 702-396-9449. The MultiCare Group has access to all the best markets for your needs. Life insurance quotes are available right now, and they're very inexpensive. In this uncertain world, you need affordability. If you're a male 50, you can buy life insurance of $500,000 for only $41. That's $41 a month. Give us a call today for your no-obligation quote. We provide you with all the personal services you need. And the best part, we will always be with you every step of the way. The MultiCare Group makes buying insurance simple. You may want to inquire about long-term care. We have the most innovative plans available. Call us and find out how you can get care at your own home from a long-term care policy. Call the MultiCare Group today and get peace of mind at 702-396-9449. That's 396-9449. Call us today.
This is your Money Minute. I'm Steve Siddall. Now, joining me today is America's wealth coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. Coach, you often say a steady, reliable income in retirement is key. I hear it on Financial Safari all the time. How do we do that, and how can you help us achieve that?
Steve, I don't really think there's anything more important in life than having your income taken care of. When you're working, you have a job, and you get an income. When you retire, you need to make sure that the money you've worked all through your life and had that job, working all the time, make sure you've taken some of that money and have your very own lifetime income plan. The biggest mistake I see as folks approach retirement is they don't have an income plan. Therefore, you don't know when you can really retire. We're all guessing until we're experts. And sometimes we're not even experts when we think we are. But here's what the most important thing is. Retirement planning, how to create a retirement income for life. Very, very important. I've got a book set on it. I've got a new booklet on it. You see the booklet right here I'm holding up. And I've talked about it in my book, The 7 Baby Steps. But more importantly, we can customize your very own